Support for WPR comes from the American Society of Landscape Architects Wisconsin Chapter. Dedicated to reimagining the design of outdoor spaces for the well-being of all. Examples at wiasla.com.
Support for WPR comes from the Stevens Point area, offering a variety of getaway experiences, itineraries and ideas for beer lovers, foodies, outdoor recreation fans, and more are at StevensPointArea.com.
We will welcome your questions and your reactions to yesterday's primary results and the races that will now be on the November ballot. You heard many of the results in our Wisconsin Public Radio newscast just now. What race is most surprising or most important to you? Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 and a half minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, August 13th. Our guest political analyst will give us his take on who we voted for and why and the issues that are likely to dominate the headlines between now and November. What's your take? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk at WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guest. Arnold Schober is an associate professor of government at Lawrence University in Appleton, where he teaches courses on elections, public policy, and other areas. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what stands out to you as the most important headline this morning?
I think really the important races are going to be in the state Senate as far as going forward. Obviously, the governor is going to be close. No one expected Mary Burke to lose her primary yesterday, I don't think. But the state Senate had a number of nail-biters, really, and then certainly the 6th congressional seat, which we still don't really know who the outcome is for that on the Republican side of the ticket.
You know, let's start a little bit, talk a little bit more about the 6th congressional district. State Senator Glenn Grothman was declared the winner by the Associated Press, and then shortly after that, some more vote tallies came in from Sheboygan County, which is the district of his closest competitor in that race, State Senator Joe Lipum. And now it's not so clear if Grothman won, right?
That's correct. I mean, the vote totals as they came in became much narrower after Lipum's home base came in. Obviously, both of those candidates are still waiting to see what the results will finally be. Grothman had to do some gymnastics to get himself in the race early on, and he obviously is still ahead and would like to win. But we don't know. What we do know is that either of those candidates, either Lipum or Grothman, will be to the right of Tom Petri, who's retiring. So that race should be one to watch, as many Republicans have moved to the right in the U.S. Congress. This seat may go that way as well.
Well, at least the conventional wisdom that the makeup of that district is largely Republican, so it was thought that the winner of this Republican primary was indeed the likely new congressman or representative from that area.
That would be conventional wisdom. One of the wrenches in that, though, is that Mark Harris is the Winnebago County executive. So he has an electoral base there. He's won that office more than once. He was even talked about as a potential Democratic candidate for governor. And so he's not a wimpy candidate, if I use that word on the air. And so he would present some real challenges. Now, that's not to say it would be easy for him to win. But given that he has an electoral base, he can argue that he's worked with a variety of people in Oshkosh across the political spectrum. He's not someone who will run a very good campaign and give Grothman or Lipum a run for their money. It is true that the district leans Republican. There's no doubt about that. But on the other hand, it's been 35 years since there's been a real race in that district. Mm-hmm. Petri has been there a long time, and whenever an open seat like that happens after a long tenured member leaves, things happen that you wouldn't expect because voters have for the first time and have a serious choice that they can make without necessarily a natural mm-hmm. winner there.
Well, I know it's a little difficult to say exactly what the issues will be that will shape this race, since we're not absolutely sure which Republican candidate will be on the November ballot. But right now it appears that Grothman has the edge. What are the likely issues that that you see in the 6th congressional district?
I think one of the things that Grothman or even Livam might emphasize would be kind of federal government involvement. We see that kind of as a theme on the right of the Republican Party. Like, what kinds of federal overreach, quote unquote, would they stop? They would probably very much emphasize things around the Affordable Care Act / Obamacare, talking about the IRS, these kinds of, I don't want to call them hobby horses, but these kinds of issues about the growth and the size of the federal government is something that I'd expect to see either of them campaign on vigorously. Grothman, for his part in the state Senate, has made no secret of his distaste for that, and I would expect that to continue going forward.
Yeah. State Senator Lipholm was not able to retain his state Senate seat in order to run for Congress, so that is now an open state Senate seat.
Yes, that's correct. However, given the makeup of that district, it's unlikely that a Democrat will win it. There are certainly Democrats in that part of the state, Mayor of Manitowoc, if I recall correctly, but that will occasion another election coming up. Now, he could certainly run again for that seat, or when the special election is called for that.
Oh, all right. Let's touch on a couple of other congressional primary results since we started with the 6th. There was a primary, a Democratic primary, in the 4th congressional district in Milwaukee. The Democratic incumbent, Gwen Moore, faced a challenge by Democrat former state senator Gary George. And Gwen Moore was victorious there. Any analysis of that particular race?
Unfortunately for Gary George, he left the state Senate something under a cloud, and I don't think that cloud has completely passed for him. And Gwen Moore has been there a long time. She's represented her district, by all accounts, fairly well. It would have been very difficult for Gary George to overcome that incumbency advantage and the way Gwen Moore knows her district pretty well. And so I don't think there's too much to be said. If Gary George wants to get back into politics, he may want to look around a little lower level again as he tries to kind of leave some of his past, political past, elsewhere and kind of move back into politics.
Yeah. In the 1st congressional district in southern Wisconsin, there was U.S. Representative Paul Ryan faced a challenger who was running as a Republican. He was a state capitol protester with the same last name, Jeremy Ryan, and Representative Ryan. I guess that didn't fool anybody.
No, I'm looking at the results. 94% of Republican voters, or folks who voted in the Republican primary, picked the Paul Ryan that they probably thought they were voting for. That, I guess I would probably class it as more of a political stunt to gain attention for some of the issues that Jeremy Ryan was upset with, but it certainly didn't fool nearly enough Republicans to threaten Paul Ryan in any way.
And on the Democratic side of the 1st congressional district, Kenosha businessman Rob Zurbin defeated his Democratic opponent in the primary, filmmaker Amar Kaliki, and will run again against U.S. Representative Paul Ryan. Is it going to be any different this time around?
That's probably unlikely. Paul Ryan is one of Wisconsin's members of Congress who spends the most time here in Wisconsin when he's not doing work in D.C. He's in his district a lot. He's faced Rob Zurbin again before and has defeated him, even in years like 2012 when Obama did decently well here in Wisconsin, and even in the 1st District. So I think that we'll see something of a rematch, but both candidates know each other decently well. I would be surprised if we saw a different outcome this fall.
We are talking with Arnold Schober, an associate professor of government at Lawrence University in Appleton, about yesterday's primary election results. And we welcome any questions or reactions that you might have. Is there a race that you've been watching? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are discussing and analyzing and reacting to yesterday's primary election results and previewing the races that will now be on the November ballot. And we welcome your questions and we welcome your reactions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Talked a little bit about some of the congressional races and the still, I guess, too close to call race in the 6th congressional district. Let's talk a little bit about the state house and the governor's office. No surprise that Mary Burke defeated her Democratic challenger, State Representative Brett Halsey, in yesterday's primary. Now she officially will move forward and challenge Governor Walker in November. We will, by the way, be holding a straw poll after 7 o'clock where you can cast your vote on air. If the election were held today, who would get your vote? Would it be Mary Burke or Governor Walker, and why? That's in a straw poll after 7 o'clock. But let's get our guest, Arnold Schober, to give us his analysis of the race for governor. First, no surprise to you that Mary Burke defeated Brett Halsey.
No, there was no surprise is the right word. Brett Halsey didn't seem to mount kind of a statewide campaign, and it's very clear that the state Democratic Party had unofficially decided that Mary Burke would be the candidate this year. They worked very hard late last year to clear the field of other potential Democrats so that they wouldn't have, the Democratic Party wouldn't have a divisive primary to choose someone to run against Scott Walker this year. So that really wasn't much of a surprise or any surprise that she prevailed yesterday. I think as she recognizes from her comments last night about her victory, her challenge going forward really is to introduce herself. According to most recent Marquette poll, almost half of Wisconsin voters either don't know who she is or don't have enough information about her to form an opinion about her. And so she, going forward, is going to have to introduce herself very vigorously and very quickly. The race will be close either way, but at this point, the race is still mostly about Scott Walker and not about Mary Burke, and that could be troublesome for Mary Burke should she want to win in November, which I assume she does.
Yeah, but isn't it interesting that if half of the voters don't know who she is, still it's half are saying they'll vote for Mary Burke and half say they will vote for Governor Walker. It's a dead heat.
That's right. One of the things that has, Wisconsin politics has really become quite frozen over the last couple election cycles, where we have a state where half of the folks are very staunch Republicans or staunch Walker supporters, and half of the folks in the state aren't. And that is going to make it very difficult to have candidates from either party that are able to comfortably win statewide office, because they know they'll have to run through this really partisan or even ideological filter before they can connect. Looking at earlier poll results this year, it really is true that Republicans in the state are pretty much 92, 93, 94% behind Scott Walker, and Democrats are kind of against Scott Walker. And so Mary Burke, so far, her poll numbers are not really about folks supporting Mary Burke but being opposed to Scott Walker. And that maybe that's good news for Mary Burke, I don't know. But certainly Walker, with that kind of dynamic, Walker has to be watch his steps very carefully the next couple of months, because he can't afford to lose any support. And his task really will be to try to define Mary Burke in a way that turns off just a few independents so that he can clear the bar this November.
For Lieutenant Governor, John Layman defeated his Democratic challenger, Mary Jo Walters. Does the Lieutenant Governor candidate make a big difference in the gubernatorial campaign?
Typically, no. The Lieutenant Governor has very, very few responsibilities here in Wisconsin. There has been talk of abolishing the post. Other states have done so. But nevertheless, John Layman, he was a former state senator, or I guess he's current state senator, but his district was redrawn so that it was highly unlikely that he'd be able to be reelected there this November. And so for him to jump to another level of government to run for the lieutenant governor is a politically kind of useful move for him. Given the way polls are shaping up, he has an even chance of staying in public service by being on the ticket there. But as far as a deal maker, a deal breaker for Walker or Burke, I really don't see the lieutenant governor as that position.
Jefferson County District Attorney Susan Happ won the Democratic Party for state attorney general. There were two other candidates, the Dane County District Attorney and State Senator John Richards. Was this the outcome you expected there?
This race, I think, is going to be the one to watch this fall, other than the governor's race, because the attorney general's office is fairly high profile. We can think about J.B. Van Hollen and some of the positions and cases he's filed or not filed over his tenure. He also, J.B. Van Hollen, that is, was one of the highest vote getters in the last two elections for statewide offices. And so the race does attract a lot of voters, and it's fairly important with defending or not defending Wisconsin's laws, and there's certainly plenty of controversial legislation from the current session and previous session that are still working their way through the courts. And so I think what the Democrats wanted, apparently this time around, given the vote returns, is a Democrat from a part of the state that wasn't kind of identifiably kind of hyper-liberal Democrat, which would have been the case had the Dane County DA won. So Happ can say, look, I'm a Democrat from a county that typically is Republican. I've worked with Republicans. I have a concealed carry permit, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. So she can appeal to some of those more Republican issues while still being very much a Democrat and holding views on like voter ID and whatnot that would be more identifiably Democratic positions. So I think that race will be really a bellwether of the mood of the Wisconsin electorate more than the governor's race, which has kind of so swept up in polarization about Act 10 and other kinds of things. So that race will be one to watch. It'll be very interesting to see how it proceeds, and it'll be interesting to see how the Republican candidate tries to frame Happ, because they do, in fact, agree on many kind of headline issues about internet crime and this kind of thing. But,
All right. We will check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking with our guest political analyst, who is giving us his take on who we voted for and why, and the different races and issues that will be dominating the headlines between now and November. We do welcome your input, too. Are you surprised at all by any of the election results? Are you still waiting to hear the outcome on some races? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Wisconsin's primary election is over, and the November ballot is set for the most part. We are talking with a guest political scientist to analyze the results of yesterday's primary and examining the issues shaping the races for governor, for attorney general, and control of the state Senate, and more. What are your thoughts on yesterday's primary? How did your candidate or candidates fare? What issues are most important to you ahead of the November ballot? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, talking with Arnold Schoburn, an associate professor of government at Lawrence University in Appleton, where he teaches courses on elections, public policy, and other areas. Well, we've covered a lot of territory so far, Professor Schober, but we haven't talked in much depth about the control of the state Senate. First, set the stage for us. It is possible that the state Senate could change hands in terms of political power?
Yes, it is very, very possible, and certainly the Democrats are hoping likely. The state Senate is 15-18 in the Republicans' favor, and as you may remember, as you I'm sure do remember, that the Senate was really kind of the showcase for the drama over Act 10, where it was unclear whether and how that bill would pass, even with Republicans there. And so Democrats would very dearly like to take that House. It's unlikely they can take the state Assembly. It's 60 of the 99 seats are held by Republicans. Given the overall environment for Democrats this year, it's unlikely that they could take the Assembly. But the Senate, there are at least four Senate seats that could flip this year to other parties, which would more than close that gap in the state Senate for the Democrats. If they were to pick up two and correspondingly the Republicans lose two, the Democrats would have control, which, should Mary Burke win this November, would help her with whatever kind of vision she would have for Wisconsin.
So what are the four that could flip?
Sure, at least by my guesstimate, as best as any, the Lehman district for the Democrats, right? So Lehman for the lieutenant has jumped to the lieutenant governor position. His district is very likely Republican this time around. Bob Jauch up north, The Republican running in that race, Jauch is retiring, the Republican running in that race very nearly beat him in 2010. That Republican is running again, and so there's a chance for Republicans to pick up his seat. So that would be plus two for the Republicans should that both happen. On the other side, Dale Schultz down in southwest Wisconsin, who had become an increasing critic of the state's GOP. He's a Republican, but he became more and more critical as time went on with some of the partisanship and some of the, in his view, extreme ideas that some of his caucus were putting forward. And he announced his retirement. That district has voted for President Obama, but also for Scott Walker, so it's unclear which way it might fall. The Republican running in that race is a Tea Party candidate, and so he would be to the right, certainly, of Dale Schultz. So that would be an opportunity for Democrats. At the moment, we don't know what Democrat that will be. The two candidates are separated by two votes. Certainly, there'd be a recount in the works for that one. But that's an opportunity for the Democrats. And then finally, the 19th district, which is Senate President Ellis's district, who's not running this year, will also be a close one between a current state representative and Roth. So Bernard Schaber and Roth are running there. That one up here in the Fox Valley, Nina area, will also be very competitive, an opportunity for Democrats to pick up a longtime Republican seat.
Yeah, so if the Democrats pick up the 19th and the Democrats pick up the 17th, that's just two, and it sounds like the other two you're saying could be possible Republican pickups. So it looks pretty hard for the Democrats to win control of the state Senate.
It won't be easy, but it is certainly much more likely that they could do that, because it is possible for them to hold Bob Jauch's seat without a problem. So we would wind up with a close or perhaps Democratic state Senate. And again, it won't be easy, but that is where their legislative opportunity is this time around, given the political makeup of the state.
Well, in yesterday's primary election, you referenced it, that in the 17th, the two Democrats that were running for the to try to advance to the November election in the election to replace State Senator Dale Schultz, they are just two votes apart. That it kind of goes to show that every vote counts, doesn't it?
It does. In a handful of races, it really does matter that everyone turns out. I mean, and this is one of those instances. I think that whoever prevails in that race, and I don't know when that will be, who knows, but they will certainly have to work hard at convincing the other half of the Democratic electorate that they were an okay choice, which may or may not be very hard to do. But it does show that there, especially in local politics, I mean, every vote does make a difference.
Yeah, we have the candidate that has the 2-point advantage is Ernie Whitwer, and he has the 2-vote advantage over Pat Bomhack. Now, Pat Bomhack was the Democratic Party's choice, or at least the Democratic leaders were the ones who were pushing Pat Bomhack to run and endorsing him. So what does that say?
Well, one thing that it says is that sometimes voters have minds of their own, and I think the great thing about American politics, really, is that party leaders may have one view of the world, but they're even co-partisans in the electorate may have different ideas. Something else it does say is that party leadership doesn't have the same kind of pull as perhaps it once did. So if you are the endorsed candidate, that doesn't carry as much weight anymore. We've moved into an era where most candidates run very individual races, and it's hard to figure out, if you don't already know, a candidate's party. And I think because of that, when party leadership endorses somebody, unless you already knew that they were a Republican or Democrat, that endorsement doesn't mean very much for you, the voter. And so I think that's really an emblem of that.
Yeah. And then one more question about the 17th. The Republican candidate is a very conservative Republican, Tea Party-backed Republican. And either of these Democrats, I guess, are just, I don't know, traditional Democrats. Is that district is more of a moderate district or not?
Yes, it very much is, and it has been trending more Democratic as it's become less rural and more of a kind of not quite Madison suburb, but it's moving that way. And so there are some real challenges for Mark Lyon, the Republican candidate, to carry it. Now, given the way our state works in that our off-cycle elections, so the ones this fall, the ones without the presidency on the ticket, typically are more conservative, he might be able to carry that seat, but the district itself is not as conservative as the Republican candidate seems to be. Again, that doesn't mean he can't win, but it means that he'll have different challenges, that the Democrats will be able to say, look, we represent the moderation of this district better than the Republican. That would be one line of attack they might make against him. But, again, it is a moderate district. Dale Schultz did, a reasonable job of representing that moderation. It'll be a race to watch, and certainly the Democrats hope the ball will bounce their way.
George in Milwaukee is with us. Hello, George.
Hi. A local race here in Milwaukee that might have implications in future years. A young guy about 32, Jonathan Brastoff, won in the 19th Democratic primary of the state assembly. And the big surprise there was that he beat Marina Dmitrievich, who was the county board chairwoman. And that was seen as almost an incumbency for her in this vacant seat left by John Richards. And so I think that Brastoff is going to be somebody to watch as he, along with people like Senator Chris Larson hoped to kind of remake the Democratic Party on a more progressive base.
Mm-hmm. Any comment on that, Professor Schober?
Yeah, certainly whenever you find kind of young candidates kind of defeating more established ones, they are certainly candidates to watch. I mean, you can recall that Scott Walker was once one of those as well, kind of a young candidate in the Milwaukee area that no one thought could win. And then he did his research, and right, the rest is history, as they say. And so whenever this kind of situation happens, as in the 19th Democratic primary, you have to keep your eye on those people because they will be the next generation of politicians here in Wisconsin.
We're talking about the primary election results and what this means for the general election in November, previewing some of the races and the issues that are involved, and welcoming your questions and your reactions. Did your candidate win in the race that you were watching? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with a guest political scientist about all of the significant primary results from yesterday's primary election, and talking about the races and how they are shaping up for November, what issues will likely determine who will represent us in the state legislature, in the governor's office, in Congress, welcoming your questions and your reactions. Did you vote? Did things turn out the way you thought they would turn out? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. You know, I think they were predicting about a 15% statewide voter turnout yesterday, Professor Schober. I think there might have been pockets where it exceeded that, but do you have any sense? Was it a typically low voter turnout as it usually is for primaries?
Yes, it certainly was. Certainly was very low. When I went to vote at the end of the day, I was very in the low 200s in my precinct, which is unusual for where I live. Primary races are light, and this year without. Really, with the exception of the Attorney General, the statewide races were not really banner races. So there wasn't a contested Democratic primary, and certainly the Republican primary wasn't contested for governor, which those are going to be the races. The top races are going to be the ones that drive turnout, and the local races are kind of tack-ons. People get to them if they remember. And so we saw low turnout. What does that mean for November? Well, I don't know, except that you typically get candidates who are further to the right or further to the left in low turnout races, because those are the people who are most excited about politics. And that does have some implication for the choices we have in November.
Yeah, you know, I did post on our Facebook page about why do so few people vote in the primary, and a couple of people were saying it's because I have to vote straight party ticket. I can't cross over. And can you want to just touch on that?
Sure. In a state like Wisconsin, where we kind of expect to go into the poll and not even have to register ahead of time, right, to be able to just vote, partisan primaries are kind of difficult for people to swallow. Many states have them. In some states, they're in different days to kind of avoid that particular problem. But it does irritate, as you noted, folks that, well, maybe they're not planning to vote a straight party ticket come November when it's not restricted that way. Most political parties, though, really like to keep the closed primary to keep separate tickets for the primary so that they have some control over the candidates that are available in November. When you get rid of that, the parties lose control, and they don't really like that situation. So the example I would give for that is California recently adopted a top two system where the top two candidates, regardless of their party, from the primary will advance to the general election. And in a number of districts, it winds up that you have two Republicans or two Democrats running against each other in November. And the parties don't like that because it helps, it creates division within the political party. And given the way our political system works on partisan lines, that makes it hard to craft a message, if you will, for voters generally. And so we maintain, parties like that system, like having one ticket in the primary to help prevent problems in November. But it does irritate voters. It really does.
Yeah. And I think one of the concerns of the parties is that there could be crossover voting to cause mischief, that you know, the one voter who's really a Democrat is going to vote for the weakest Republican, so the Democrat might win in November, or vice versa.
Certainly, there's always concern about that, and there's always kind of rumors that that's happening in some race. It's very hard to point to a specific race where that happens. This year, there's some suspicion, though, that that happened in this U.S. Senate race in Mississippi, where Thad Cochran defeated a Tea Party Republican in his Republican Senate primary down there, that there's suspicion that lots of Democrats entered that to help Thad Cochran out. But those kinds of stories are impossible to verify because we don't track the way people vote. We only track their vote, not who cast it. So we hear stories. It's hard to know if it actually enough Democrats or enough Republicans would do that to swing an election.
There was a liberal blogger who shared what he said was a memo from former Republican Governor Tommy Thompson that had gone out to voters in Milwaukee, apparently, supporters, Republicans, saying, you know what, you should consider voting in the Democratic primary for sheriff. Because, according to the blogger, the Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark was in some trouble of being defeated by a Democratic challenger. And in that race, Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark was able to stave off a primary defeat by Milwaukee Police Lieutenant Chris Moe. David Clark has survived that particular challenge. Do you have any thoughts on whether Republican votes might have helped him?
Well, again, since we don't record them, I can't answer that directly. Certainly, when you get down the ticket to local races that are less identifiably partisan, like a sheriff, we hope they aren't rounding up Republicans or Democrats. These are local races where the partisan label is harder to defend, and you might have instances where that's the local ticket driver. I mean, so if you didn't care about the governor because there's not really a contested primary, you might consider voting on the other side. But again, absence of testimonials, there's no way to know if that was possible, that happened.
Yeah. Well, I think we went through most of the significant or statewide or races of statewide interest. Did we miss one that might have been a surprise to you or that you're going to watch?
I think we've covered the ones that I'll be watching this November. Again, certainly the Attorney General race will be an interesting one to watch. And again, the governor's race. I am interested to see what the big issue will be yet. We haven't had an issue break out in that race that clearly sets Walker and Burke apart in a way that is kind of motivating to voters. Since Burke isn't talking about Act 10, Walker's not talking about Act 10. They both claim to be fiscal conservatives. So I'm watching that to see. What issue that might be.
Well, isn't it going to be it's going to be whether Governor Walker created enough jobs and whether or not Mary Burke shipped too many jobs overseas?
Certainly that's something of a minor, that might be the issue that gets talked about. But for Walker, I mean, there are more jobs in Wisconsin than there were, maybe not 250,000 of them. And Mary Burke's experience at Trek or in the Department of Commerce under Doyle, perhaps, but they aren't really barn-burning issues. So it's not like our unemployment rate has gone up, or, I mean, in So I don't. It's an issue, but I'm not sure that that's an issue that will motivate voters to the polls. Other than, I mean, what's going to get them there as of today is, do I like Scott Walker or do I hate Scott Walker? Really, that at the moment, that seems to be what the race is about.
Yeah, and in our final minute, the issue that you think is going to determine the race for Attorney General, the one that you say you're going to be watching closely.
I think voters will have to decide how involved they want the state to be in lawsuits against or with the federal government. That is clearly a distinction between the Republican candidate and the Democratic candidate, whether they want to continue that involvement of Wisconsin. And so that will play out, I think, very importantly this fall.
Yeah. Well, we did have a caller who couldn't stay on the line who wanted to know what Democrat won the 25th Senate district, and it was Janet Buley, but I don't think we have time to go into great detail on that race. All right. Thank you very much for being with us.
It's my pleasure, yeah, as always.
Arnold Schober, an associate professor of government at Lawrence University in Appleton, where he teaches courses on elections, public policy, and other areas. There will be more primary election results talk coming up this afternoon on Central Time after 3 o'clock. We will continue our political talk with a big question. A gubernatorial straw poll is our big question coming up after the news. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Cynthia Schuster, and to Justin Williams for producing and directing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.